that. Jeremy, why don't you
Your conference
yourself?
Is being recorded.
Sorry about that. I've never done that before. Jeremy, why don't you introduce yourself, tell us what position you hold in Columbia Association, and what good things you're doing there. I'll tell you about, let me first tell you about who you're talking to. We've got about, I think, 10 Sierra Club volunteers on the line that are, some of us are working on a project in the Philadelphia city and Philadelphia suburbs to promote our communities to go to 100% renewable energy, to set the goal, to make a plan, and educate everybody about what a wonderful thing it would be. So I'll leave it there. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thanks. I really appreciate the opportunity, Jim, to talk to the group. So my name is Jeremy Scharfenberg. I'm the energy manager for the Columbia Association. We are a public service corporation. We act a lot like a city, but we're technically a nonprofit public service corporation that serves the community of Columbia, Maryland. It's about 100,000 people, and I work. As the energy manager, I'm sort of placed in the ideal place within the organization in that I'm in the construction department, so I have direct oversight and control of mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems within about 500,000 square feet of building space. We use a little over 10 million kilowatt hours of electricity every year in serving the community. And I was brought on in 2012 to sort of start the energy and sustainability program for the organization and for the community. At the time, our president was very proactive in environmental sustainability issues and was fortunate enough to have them create a position that I was able to secure. And since then, our goal has been to serve as a leader in clean energy in the community of Columbia, Maryland. And by first taking care of our own operations and making our operations as sustainable as possible and taking whatever steps we could around supporting clean renewable energy and also developing corresponding programs to support the residents of Columbia, Maryland and making decisions in their daily lives to reduce their environmental footprint, to embrace renewable energy and be as sustainable as they could. So I'll sort of leave it at that, just sort of quick intro in terms of who I am and what we do. Any questions from the group at this point? Okay, excellent. So that was 2012 when we started our program. In May of 2015, when our next sort of electricity supply procurement contract was up, we integrated American Wind Renewables purchase into our power supply for about 75% of our electricity consumption. And then in July of 2015, we had a 2-megawatt solar farm come online in our community that we engaged in a virtual aggregate net metering power purchase agreement with a local developer, and that's providing about 25% of our power. We also have 2 smaller on-site solar PV installations, and we're sort of always looking to get more on-site within our own facilities as we go forward. But sort of those are the 3 steps that we took as a community organization around being 100% renewable. We have the local solar farm providing a solid chunk. The balance that we can't secure is through wind RECs that we purchase on the market, predominantly in Texas and Oklahoma, and then also developing whatever on-site renewable sources we can. And so the power purchase agreements for the 2-megawatt solar farm is about 20 years, and every year we're going to continuously purchase American Wind RECs as we go through our electric procurement as an organization. So that's sort of what we're doing. In doing that, we reduce our carbon footprint by about 54% from a Scope 1 and Scope 2 perspective. So we're looking to take further steps to get into the remaining component of our carbon footprint, trying to get that even further down. So that's sort of what we did within our own operation as a municipal public service corporation serving the community to lead by example, to be 100% offset. And then in terms of the programming that we offer to the community, so we're doing a few things. One, we engaged with a local nonprofit called Veterans of Baltimore that's very focused on on-the-ground community engagement and providing energy advocacy services, and we started a solar cooperative. So we actually issued a procurement to secure residential solar PV vendors who we would preferentially sort of drive work to if they met, if they met certain standards around, around local hiring. For example, we were looking for contractors that would commit to hiring local solar energy technicians to work on the projects in our community. They had to meet certain performance standards around quality of work, around licensure. And so we got them to agree to some really good pricing, about 25% below market rate for residential solar. And so we're currently running quarterly energy meetings in the community at different locations within the Columbia area, sort of different villages, to offer this program to our residents. You know, we have these third-party vendors that we have screened and vetted, and we provide sort of an independent advisor to help homeowners navigate the solar process. You know, a lot of times they're sort of operating on their own. They're not sure what the vendor is telling them, whether it's Solar City or Vivint or Standard Energy Solutions. So we offer sort of a third-party, unbiased ear to look at their home, look at the systems that are possible, what's the reality in terms of cost impacts. On top of that, we're trying to support Community Solar, which is sort of a new program that's piloting here in the Maryland area. I'm not sure where it is in Philadelphia at this time. But for residents where solar, on-site solar will not work, there could be solar farms located in the area within a given utility's public service territory where a developer can essentially supply them 100% renewable or some portion of renewables from a solar farm nearby under a virtual metering construct. And so as that pilot develops here in the community, we're sort of looking for any ground, any property that we might have, large roof area, where we could essentially lease that roof area to a developer who can then sell the power to members of our community. So that's sort of how we're queuing ourselves up to help support the community solar movement. And then the third option is we also actively try to educate and empower our members, our citizens, to look for third-party power suppliers that have some type of renewable component, whether that's wind or solar, or if it's a green power option for their power supplier, just in their normal power procurement as a homeowner. So that's sort of a quick synopsis of what the Columbia Association is doing down here in Columbia in terms of our operations and being 100% offset, and then how we're developing programs for our residents of Columbia, Maryland to take similar steps in their own lives.
That's really neat.
That's awesome. Jeremy, could you say anything about energy efficiency initiatives to bring down the demand so it's easier to meet your needs with renewables?
Yeah, so we actually launched our energy efficiency program first. That's why there's a little bit of a lag in terms of our being 100% offset. So within our own operations, we've reduced our energy use intensity by about 18% over the last 4 years. So you know, we'd probably be about 12 megawatts or 12 million kilowatt hours of power instead of 10 where we're at now. So that saves us some costs in terms of our ability to offset our power. And then we also offer a similar cooperative construct where we have screened and vetted contractors that are supporting the local utilities home performance Energy Star program. I'm not sure what the rebates are up in Pepco service territory, but here BGE will provide a 50% rebate up to $2,000 for energy efficiency improvement in the home as part of the Home Performance Energy Star program. So in our community energy meetings, we're sort of hitting the residents with a 1-2 punch where it's, here's an energy efficiency program that's out there for you, and we also have the solar cooperative that you can also participate in. It's a little bit tough because at the moment, at least the way the SRECs were valued, there was sort of almost a toss-up in the return on investment for homeowners, but both coming in like 8 or 9 years, typically for solar and or energy efficiency. The tough thing that we're seeing on energy efficiency is that the shale gas market, and this also impacts solar PV, but energy prices are actually trending downward. And so it hurts the ROI for energy efficiency improvements just as badly as it hurts the ROI for solar projects as well. But we are focusing on energy efficiency as well and promoting Energy Star programs as much as we can in the community.
Okay. My next question was, yeah, does anybody else have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
I do.
This is Sue. Given energy efficiency and the other things you're doing, do you think people are seeing their utility bills go down or not necessarily at this point?
Well, I mean, I think everybody is sort of seeing their utility bills go down just because of the decreasing utility costs in general. Unfortunately, you know, the penetration rates for energy efficiency and home performance are relatively low. It's hard to get homeowners to bite on these investments when they can put $5,000 into their bathroom or $5,000 into their kitchen. And, so we're trying to promote the value. And we sort of have, for example, our president of the community, I developed a little certificate so that the president signs, and every homeowner that comes to their program gets a certificate that they can sort of stick in their home folder. So when they go trying to create some type of resale value token, if you will, some cachet for that home around the energy efficiency side until the sort of real estate market can catch up with some type of scoring system, the home energy yardstick, for example, around how do you compare this home to that home from an energy efficiency perspective. On the solar side, I try to encourage homeowners to purchase systems if they can outright. We've had some issues around Solar City coming in a few years ago and hitting the community really hard with marketing, and the homeowners ending up with sort of a bad taste in their mouth in some instances where they either had trouble reselling their home because there was this lease agreement that the new owner had to either assume or deal with in some other fashion. So we typically try to encourage homeowners to purchase systems if they can. I understand that there can be some other cost savings, especially when there's some SREC value along with the 30% tax credit, which got extended. And that's sort of another push for us when we're messaging this to homeowners is, you know, that we had the 2-year extension at the full 30%, then it ratchets down to 20% and then 10%. So there's sort of a little bit of a sweet spot with the solar world where SREC still has some value. The federal tax credit is still in play for the next year and a half at the full 30%. And then the cost per kilowatt continues to go down. And so it's sort of right now is a really good time to get into renewables while all these incentives are there while the pricing continues to drop.
Yeah, unfortunately, the SREC market in Pennsylvania is in the dirt.
Because you guys aren't part of REGI, right? Is that true?
No.
Right.
No. And our renewable energy portfolio standard is 0.5% for solar. And it's like nothing. And we have open borders, so that's killing us, too. But it's great that the municipal committee is leading the way and promoting transition. And that's what I'm hoping we can learn from this is to try to get our municipal governments, townships, and boroughs to lead the way in convincing residents and businesses to make this transition. Go ahead, Carol. You had a question?
Okay. Paula has a question, too, when you're ready.
Okay, go ahead.
That is Sarah. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a couple questions. One is about your wind energy. You said 75% comes from American Wind, and did you do that as a group? In other words, did you use a broker and have all your households and all your buildings that were part of the association purchased together? Can you just unpack a little bit how that works? And then the second question is, did you consider at any point any form of revolving loan funds to help people with their either their energy efficiency or with their outright solar purchases?
Okay, great questions. So on the wind RECs, so we worked through a broker, it was Renewable Choice Energy at the time, to secure the American wind RECs for the 75% of the electricity use of our operations as a public service corporation. And so we just executed that when we did our 3-year procurement for power. So we have a 3-year agreement at the moment for those wind RECs that are based in Texas and Oklahoma primarily. And so we're going to continue that process going forward to augment our 20-year power purchase agreement with the solar farm to continue our 100% offset for our operations. And we were able to do that because I'm the energy manager and the Columbia Association sort of control of all of its facilities. It was sort of a bundled purchase for all of our buildings. I do inform our residents of that option that they can sort of do that themselves as well. I'm not sure what the penetration rate is in terms of other homeowners doing it in terms of the community looking for RECs to offset their power. On the revolving loan fund, I'm actually trying to set something up right now. I'm working with the Maryland Energy Administration to try to get seed money for that. I'm a little bit hamstrung in that the funds that we have from the community, there are sort of prohibitions around how they're used, where I can't use them to upgrade a resident's home. I can use them to sort of support our operations and provide programming and services, but I can't actually make a physical improvement in a home with any of the funds that we have within our budget as a public service corporation. But I'm trying to engage other sources for that initial seed capital to get that going. But I think that would be fantastic. And I'm working with the local county we just launched a commercial PACE program to get energy efficiency and renewable projects embedded into the commercial tax obligation of a given property. And I keep hearing rumblings about the residential PACE issue being resolved with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but I'm not sure where exactly that stands. I think that could potentially be a game changer in terms of how these projects are capitalized, if we can get a residential PACE construct that will work in the country. I think that would be very helpful in terms of getting a homeowner to bite on a capital improvement even when they're going to sell the home in 3 or 5 years.
Could you say a little bit about what lessons you've learned that you might share with us as we begin conversations with township and our local borough officials? What would work or what tends to persuade or be helpful?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of, I think one big hurdle that I know is out there is just a lack of information where individuals, decision makers, whoever it is at the municipal or individual homeowner level, simply not aware of all the options that are available to them to take steps to support clean energy, whether it's purchasing wind RECs or solar RECs or looking into a green power percentage for when they get their third-party supplier for their power, or actual physical installations on site, on their home. I think that's one thing I always encounter when I'm out talking to people. They don't realize what options there are out there and how cost-effective they can be. A homeowner in Maryland, for example, I bought wind RECs at, 11.6 mils. So the average homeowner in Maryland could offset 100% of their power for $14 for a year with wind RECs at that price. So I think there's a lot of options out there that are very cost effective that can allow someone to promote renewable energy and secure an offset, whether it's again wind or solar, and achieve the goal of being 100% offset. Again, it sort of depends what your definition is. A different groups out there have different definitions of what solar is and what renewables are, and if it's on site, if it's local, if it's within 100 miles of the city, you know, but if you're fairly open to how you're defining it and you accept renewable energy credits as a way to offset your power, then there are lots of options out there, and they're very cost effective if you really look around. And I think that's a key message for municipal decision makers and individual residents.
Anybody else?
Your willingness to speak to us suggests this is true already, but we certainly are hoping in the next 6 to 9 months to be having more conversations with local government. And would you be willing to be a kind of on-call resource to share your experience with some elected officials as well?
Yeah, I would be happy to support any such efforts to sort of spread the word and the message and get other entities to take similar steps. I would be happy to.
Great.
Thanks for leading the way. I have a question.
Go ahead.
And it's pretty much in line. It's in line with what you've been saying. To get this started, you need a company that is good at promoting. And I know you said your first one, group, a solar company, kind of overdid it. But I know that I had talked to in Home Depot, there was a guy, and he wasn't able to think out of the box. And so he saw that I had trees, et cetera, around my house, so solar wouldn't work for me. But there are alternatives. I can get solar elsewhere, but I don't know how to go about that. And maybe these are things that we need to understand better. If I can't put it on my roof or in my yard to catch sun, where do I go?
Right.
Or where does a township go?
Right, and that's a common problem that I interact with all the time here in Columbia, because we just hit our 50th anniversary as a city, and we're a planned community. We have 3,600 acres of forest intermingled throughout our community. So almost more than half of the homeowners that approach me that are interested in solar, the moment I pull them up on Google Earth, they're surrounded by 50-year-old oak trees. And
right.
Whatever it may be. And that's when I, you know, let them know about, you know, the pending community solar movement where, you know, again, there's a solar farm somewhere nearby where they can, you know, buy a share of that solar farm and get credited with that power. You know, they can get a portion of renewable energy through their power supplier. You know, if it's Pepco, you know, who's their power supplier, what are their options there? Or they can go out on their own and buy RECs through lots of different vehicles and very cost effectively offset, you know, their carbon footprint. So there's lots of options out there, and I think there's just sort of people default to, oh, clean energy is I need to have solar panels on my house, and if I don't do that, then I'm not really doing anything. But that's the thing is, you know, that's the thing with climate change, and I've worked in climate change pretty much my whole career in some facet, and that's. Climate change is a global problem, which makes it really challenging, but then at the same time, and that's how all these United Nations Clean Development Mechanism programs are working, because the solution can be anywhere in the globe, right? So if you're supporting solar in Texas or wind in Florida, you're still supporting a mitigation of the problem. And so, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I think there are lots of options out there where someone can very cost effectively, and that's the great part about it is, you know, the amazing thing is what's happening like in Texas, for example, where there's so much wind happening in Texas that they're actually paying people to use power at night because they are making so much wind power. Yeah, where it's like the TXU and CenterPoint, the utilities are having to pay people like trying to shift industrial and residential load overnight because there's not enough use for all this wind power that they have. And that's being supported by these wind RECs, where, you know, someone like me is paying X cents for that power because I would like the cleanness of that power, that attribute of the power. And so I'm willing to provide an economic incentive to build it somewhere else. But yeah, and that's the thing. I think, and now, you know, Home Depot, that's probably Solar City. Home Depot and Solar City have this agreement. And so,
yeah, I think so.
You know,
I think that's
yeah,
who it was. Really
yeah,
nice
you know,
young fellow, but
sure.
He wasn't
yeah.
able to think beyond that.
Yeah, they're only selling what they're selling.
Yeah, they're trying
yeah.
to sell their lease of their panels on your home. And, you know, and that works for some people, and I get that, and I value that role in the marketplace. But I just think there are lots of really cost-effective steps that homeowners and cities can take to offset their power and support clean, renewable energy.
Well, and I think your concept and the fact that you've worked in a city, I think that's very valuable because cities need to understand the benefits that are going to be reaped for businesses in the city and homeowners in the city. It's universal for the city rather than just sort of hit and miss, like when they painted the roofs on the house Philadelphia white and
yeah.
I think that's a role that Sierra. I think that's a role that Sierra Club can play too, is in education, is bringing
absolutely.
Together all the options, right? So maybe we can
yeah.
work with municipalities in that
way. Well, in the vein of full disclosure, I love Philadelphia. I actually went to Villanova for engineering. That's where I went to school. So I spent time on the main line. I love Philly. So.
Awesome.
Good. Well, from talking to you, Jeremy, we love you too.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, I don't want to keep you past 8 o'clock. Any other final thoughts from Jeremy or final questions from the group? All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, Jeremy, and thank you all for listening. And maybe we'll be following up in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for your time.
Thank
Take
you
care.
Very much.
Thanks for the good
Thanks
work,
everyone.
There.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.